Good morning once again. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5 in verse 38 will serve as our scripture text this morning. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. We'll begin by reading the context in verse 33. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." So the question is posed to Jesus as to why his disciples do not fast. The Pharisees, according to the tradition, fasted twice a week, on Monday and Thursday. That's in addition to the appointed fast days, the Sabbath fasts and so forth. And the disciples of John had followed the custom. But the disciples of Jesus had broken from the tradition of the Pharisees. And this was seen to be somewhat scandalous. So they're questioned with regard to this. Now, the oral law, the Judaistic tradition, were understood as being just as binding as the law of Moses. This is in a similar way to the Roman Catholic understanding that the tradition is just as binding as the scripture. Verses 34 and 35 we read. And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." So, Jesus responds that while he, the Christ, is present, there is cause for joy. For his coming will result in a better covenant, the new covenant. And now Jesus proceeds to tell three parables. The first in verse 36. And then he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old." So this is the parable of the old cloth and the new. Now, if somebody puts a patch on an old garment, when they go to wash it, the new patch will shrink and it'll begin to tear at the seams. And furthermore, if I was to have a gaping hole in this shirt and my wife sewed a pink polka dot patch right here on the side, it would match. It's not appropriate to do that. So not only would it tear, it wouldn't match the rest of the garment. It wouldn't be consistent. And so that would be ridiculous. Jesus is basically using a ludicrous illustration to illustrate a spiritual point. And then he tells the second parable. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So basically, what Jesus is doing is he's using another common illustration that when one produces new wine, they don't put it in the old wineskin because the old wineskin has already expanded up to a certain point. And if you try to put the new wine in, the new wine will begin to ferment and it will expand it beyond the point which the old wineskin has been expanded before, and the old wineskin doesn't have the elasticity it needs, so it'll just break. So you need to use new wineskins. And then he tells a third parable in verse 39. "And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. And the idea here is that it's human nature to like what we're used to. We like to do things the old ways. For instance, I still drive around in my car with the old map book that I bought when I first got my driver's license, which has all the old street names and none of the new ones. First of all, it's missing some of the new ones, and second of all, some of the old streets aren't there anymore. But nevertheless, I refuse to get a GPS in my car. I prefer my old map book. And some have asked me, well, what do you do when you're the only one in the car, when you don't have a co-pilot? I said, well, I do what all people diligently did back in those days. I read the map book with one eye, and I look at the roadway with the other. So the idea here is that Jesus is simply pointing out that people prefer to do things the old way. So it was very difficult for people to understand the truth that Jesus Christ was bringing and fit that into a completely new context. Basically, what they would do was they would take the truths that Jesus was presenting and try to figure out, okay, how do we make that fit the Mosaic Law? Or how do we get that to somehow be consistent with the 1,500 pages of Mishnaic tradition, the Old Testament law? Well, what we're dealing with in the parables that Jesus was telling, there was the old, which represented the old covenant ceremonial law of Moses and the oral law, that is the Mishnah. And then there's the new, which is the new covenant, which is the doctrine of Christ. Jesus did not come to patch up the law, but he came to fulfill the law and to announce grace, the acceptable year of the Lord. So, we have the following applications arising from our text placed in its context. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. First, we're going to talk about the new wine. And secondly, the new wineskins. First, the new wine, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And so, I invite you to come along with me and enter into God's wine cellar. We're going to take a little trip downstairs this morning. The first type of new wine that we see is exceedingly sweet. And it's known by the name New Birth. You see, all good bottles of wine have a label. People may be very religious, but the old wine of religion without a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is not enough. This is the wine of the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." One must partake of the wine of the new birth in allegorical terms. And again, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." Why? "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, this speaks of the very religious man, the one who was following all the rituals, trying to do A, B, and C in order to earn his way into heaven. And Jesus corrects that line of thinking, that we don't work our way into heaven. Jesus Christ was about to do that work, and in our case, he's already done the work. It's the finished work. This is grace. Because Jesus has attained for us what we could never attain, now we're free to do works of righteousness in appreciation for what God has already done. Now those who find true religion through Jesus Christ find the wine of new birth equally sweet to the taste, having never tasted the old wine. It does not diminish the value and the joy that learning the truth brings to a lost soul. Beside the wine of new birth on the shelf is a new wine called communion. This is another kind of new wine. Believers must pay close attention, because although this wine is always in the same place in God's wine cellar, it is very easy to miss. So many times we go down there and into the wine cellar of God, and we remember the wine of new birth, but we walk right by the wine of communion. The label looks great, and many desire it. Sometimes we even take it down off the shelf, but we don't bother to open it. And this is a shame, because once opened, the label is more clearly read. And it reads, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So come with me a little further, and we shall see another new wine. This wine is called discipleship. This wine will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. And no wonder, for those of you who perceived that the little book and the Word of God are the basis for Christian discipleship, expected the same. Those who partake of the new wine of discipleship experience trials and tribulations, but they are of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. For he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The new wine of new birth, the new wine of communion, and the new wine of discipleship all have this in common. They can only be placed in new wineskins. Some have tried to put the new wine into old wineskins. The Pharisees tried to do it 2,000 years ago. Many of those who were confused about the message of Christ tried to do it 2,000 years ago, and they still do. Many Christian systems try to fit the new wine of the new birth into the old wineskin. And it's not compatible. The skins burst and the wine spills all over the floor. Because the new birth, the wine of new birth, was not placed into the appropriate wineskin. Neither do the wine of communion or the wine of discipleship have their effect. If one is saved in the religious system that doesn't teach salvation by faith through grace in Christ Jesus alone, one may find their way to Christ in spite of the church, but not because of it. The sign at the base of the stairwell reads, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." But only those who are blind can read it. Those who claim they see well are made blind. Others have tried to put old wine into new wineskins. I am sure that these new wineskins were obtained on the black market, for God's seal is not on them. So then, who are the new wineskins? They are those who are willing to receive the new birth. They are those who are willing to find communion with God, and they are those who are willing to travel the path of discipleship. Are you a new wineskin filled with new wine? If so, the scripture says that both are preserved. God will preserve you. You are safe with God in Christ Jesus. If you lack the new wine of new birth, then you are not a new wineskin. You are not safe. And to you I say, do not wait any longer to receive the new birth. For you do not know what a day may bring forth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Accept the new wine of the new birth. Accept salvation. Accept Jesus as your Savior and your God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've not only taught us these things quite plainly, but you've also taught them in parables that we might come to a deep understanding of who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, if any have become a partaker of the new birth, then they are a partaker of the glorious salvation of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us partake not only of the new birth this morning, but of communion with you, of fellowship with you, Heavenly Father, through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also be diligent to be good disciples, diligent learners of your truth, that you've seen fit to write down in a book, that we might know what truth is, that we might be sanctified by your truth, Lord God. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.